Eye on Careers.
In association with Laymoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
It's time for Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And this show is dedicated for everyone out there who has a dream. For everyone out there who wants to go for it but just hasn't yet. For everyone out there who's told they can't do it. For one out there who feels they didn't get a fair chance in life. Well, guess what? It's not too late. Because life's not fair. Life's not just. There's no handouts or free lunches. If you want it, if you think you have what it takes, if you think you're worth more than you're earning now, well then you get out there and you prove it. You earn it. You work it. Because success is waiting for those who want it. For those who are going to work for it. I have not met a self-made millionaire yet who didn't work 18-hour days, who didn't sacrifice, who didn't make it with blood and sweat, and never gave up, and never quit. You got to get energized. You got to get hungry. And you got to go for it. Here on Eye on Careers, we look at the region's biggest success stories. What it takes to make it. What it takes to get to the top. And of course, a little AC/DC always helps you on the way. But I think I've interviewed over 300, 500 CEOs in the last 3 years. And there are some very clear threads, very clear commonalities that, you know, you follow the statistical probability of you being successful increases exponentially, you know. Well, tonight, we're going to be looking at one of the biggest dot-com stories in the region. I mean, these guys, I think they were making virtually nothing in 2010, not too long ago. It's not too long ago at all that they were making almost nothing. And I mean, I think one of them was making 7,000 dirhams a month, which, you know, for those out there in that salary band, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in making an honest wage. But all I'm saying is that by 2013, they sold their company for $40 million to Tiger Global. This is the story of Kabone.com. And we're going to be hearing the story of Peter Sleeboon, who is one of the co-founders and the chief operating officer. And of course, these guys never stay still. They've started another company already. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And then we have a panel for those of you who are, you know, obviously when you start out, we're not all going to be the super success stories making tens of millions of dollars within 3 years. You know, you may be lucky just to make a couple hundred or even a couple thousand your first year. So we're going to look at the SME segment, and we have an SME panel of entrepreneurs who have great results, but they didn't sell their business for tens of millions of dollars. They run modest businesses here in the region, but they are extremely successful and leaders in their field. So we'll be looking at the story of Anne Bleeker, who's managing partner in Into Consulting. We'll be looking at Tina Meja Bergman, managing partner of Table for Me, and Colin Abercrombie, an executive team coach and trainer based here in Dubai. So these are, you know, true SME businesses for anybody out there who's thinking of taking that jump. You know, you have that fear in your stomach. Why should I quit? Why should I throw in the towel, the stability of this job, and take the plunge? Well, this is one show you definitely don't want to miss, because we're going to be looking at those people who did make the plunge. And literally, just before I got on air tonight, someone had come up to me and said they were listening to the show, and they said, you know, I'm one of those people who I had a job in a good company and I quit to chase my dream, and it's working out for me. And, but he said, you know, so nervous when I made that decision. That fear is normal. It's natural. Everybody has it when they make the big decisions. Let's hear a little bit about Peter Sleboon's background before we bring him on.
This is Eye on Careers. Executive CV.
Peter Sleboom is the co-founder and COO of Triperna and COO of Coborn. Both are Tiger Global-backed e-commerce companies that are leading companies in the Middle East. Peter is one of the leading figures within the online world in the Middle East and a proven business leader with a hands-on approach to launching, building, and selling successful e-commerce businesses. He has worked for Procter & Gamble and ING Bank and holds an MBA from IESE. Peter is also an active angel investor, mentor, and advisor to various startups across the world. He is married and has one son.
Well, Peter, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And what a story you guys have had. I mean, you literally came out of nowhere and built up one of the most successful, what would you call the business, Coborn.com? What's the actual formal name for that segment of business?
It's a group buying e-commerce company, and it's one of the leading e-commerce companies in the Middle East.
It's an e-commerce what?
Group buying company.
Group buying. Okay, so that's what it's called. But this is a new phenomenon. I said actually the group buying business, an e-commerce group buying business didn't exist 10 years ago, did it?
No, it didn't.
It didn't. So this is a brand new thing. You jumped on the bandwagon and it worked out for you.
Absolutely. We've grown that business in 3 years from 5 people to 130 people and successfully exited.
5 people to 130 in 36 months?
Absolutely.
How do you even hire that many? How do you hire that many people that fast? I mean, you can't actually interview 130. You know, to hire 130 people, you must have to interview like 2,000.
Yeah, we did. There were days where I did over 10 interviews on a day, and those days were incredible. We had weeks in which we hired over 5, 6, 7 people, and it's been an incredible story. We've opened offices in throughout the UAE, in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, in Lebanon, in Jordan, and basically we've grown a company in 3 years to be an e-commerce success.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, most people take decades to build their business up to 130 people. So it's quite an accolade. What was it like for you? I mean, starting out in high school, did you know that's it? You know, the entrepreneurial life is for me. Was the vision for you early on, or was it a bit of serendipity that landed you in the spot you are now?
So for me, it was a clear combination of both. I mean, the last 3 years we built Coborn. We recently launched Triperna, what's going to be one of the leading online travel agencies in the Middle East. But it hasn't always been that way. As a kid, I wanted to be a professional football player, but like anybody else, and I soon realized
American football or like the no, European the, football.
I think what you guys call soccer.
Yeah.
And that wasn't for me. So I
did you have the long like Maradona soccer hair that you would fly out? Football players, right? They have long hair, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have it anymore. Did you have the football hair going on back then?
No, I think I was a typical Dutch football player.
Ah, okay, clean cut. Okay, so initially the vision was to be an athlete.
Yeah, but I think I lacked the talent for that, so I had to have a plan B, which for me was to become a lawyer. So I studied law, and it was only at university that I was at some point elected to be in a student association. Those things are big things in the Netherlands. Mine had over 1,500 members, and for full time for 1 year, I ran a business with over $3 to $4 million dollars in turnover, and that business owned restaurants, it owned the club.
You started a business in university that had how much of a turnover?
No, it was an existing business already, but it was a turnover of $3 to $4 million.
Okay, that ran restaurants.
Yeah, yeah. That,
Okay, so you were like a general manager. You were hired as a general manager for the business.
I was doing finance there, and it was there that during that period that I realized that it might not be law for me, but business. So, but I didn't want to throw away investing 4 years in law school. I gave it a shot. I did law for 3 months in New York, but I soon realized that I had too much energy for that, and I couldn't sit behind a desk from 9 to 9. So I quit my law career. Came back to Holland, was still pretty clueless about what I wanted to do, but made a clear choice for business. I asked some old Dutch business veterans for advice, and they said, if you want to prepare for your own business, you should know two things: finance and sales. Because as a businessman, you need to be able to read the numbers, and you need to be able to sell. So that's what I did, and only at 25 I had a clear vision of entrepreneurship. And at that point of time, many options came my way.
So finance and sales, these are the two foundation stones of which he built the business on. This is a story of Peter Sleeboon, co-founder of Cobone and Triperna. We're going to be hearing his secrets to building a .com multi-million dollar Centurion plus staff of a business in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Peter Sleeboon, the co-founder of Cobone.com and the co-founder of, chief operating officer of Triperna. He basically started out wanting to be a football player, and then decided to be a lawyer, took off to New York, decided law was not for him, and said, that's it, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. He didn't really find his vision or direction until the age of 25. And early on, he was trying different things, and the direction wasn't clear. We have Peter with us now. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks.
It's interesting. So a lot of people, they feel they don't have that direction, you know, that vision. I think that's one of the big differentiators between those who make the top 5% of their profession and those who don't. You know, it's even in 40s and 50s, I interact with senior executives who still, they don't know what they want to be when they grow up. And having that direction, you know, you could have all the skill, all the talent, all the intellect in the world, but if you don't have direction and focus, it's worthless, right?
Absolutely. I think it's perfectly normal, though, for young people to have multiple visions. It's a journey, and you need to find out in life what you like, what you dislike, what you're good at, and what you're not good at. But it's important to have a plan. And the earlier, the better, because the earlier you have a plan, the sooner you can become good at what you want to be. And I think for me, what was a key moment was when I was working at the bank. I think I had a dinner with my my dad, and he said, "Man, you look way too comfortable with what you're doing now. I don't see the passion in you that you normally have. And where is this all going?" And I think it basically came down to an idiot with a plan can beat a genius without a plan.
And an idiot with a plan can beat a genius without a plan.
Yeah.
So basically, even if you're an idiot, you can still be successful.
Absolutely.
In fact, a lot of idiots are successful. And a lot of, you know, I think if you Google who was the, you know, they do these IQ tests, and the guy who had the highest IQ in the entire world for 10 years, he lived in a garage and was a bouncer in New York until he found his direction. And now, of course, he's making money and he's quite successful. Yeah. But for a big period of the time, his genius actually worked against him. Which is interesting. So again, so to go back to your point, is get a plan, get a blueprint where you're going.
Absolutely, I think that's important. For me, that was key, because since then I never looked back. I quit my job at the bank. I moved on to Barcelona to launch my own company and do an MBA on the side. It was there that I met an investor.
One of those things is normally too much for one person. Like, start a business, a little overwhelming. Go do your MBA, a little overwhelming. You're like, oh yeah, so I'll start my own business and do my MBA at the same time. Was that a good idea?
I think so, because I could directly apply what I was doing at the MBA. And for me, the main reason to do that in the first place was entrepreneurship. So I think it was a good choice.
How did you pick Barcelona out of everything?
I think
you just like Spanish women, I think. You're like, no, Dad, I have to go to Barcelona to start the business because it's a Spanish. Why would you pick Barcelona? Isn't New York like one of the best cities to start a business in? You would think.
Well, actually, I was lucky to have options and could choose between an MBA in New York and in Barcelona. But after spending a weekend in Barcelona, I think I was sold on the city. Now, and besides that, think in Europe, mm-hmm. it's in the top three of hubs for entrepreneurs.
Okay, so and then what was your first business?
I was trying to set up a business for selling cars online in Europe. It was there that I was trying to raise capital for it. Met a German investor who said, "I don't like your idea, but I like you, and you should talk to a guy who's going to set up a company in Dubai because I think you guys complete each other well."
Okay, so and he was already investing in Paul Kenny.
Yeah.
So from Barcelona, you get hooked up with Dubai.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of people say, oh, look at successful people. They're just lucky. They just have all the lucky breaks. And look at me. I don't get any. And life's pounding the you know, XYZ out of me. And, you know, if someone would only give me a lucky chance or give me a break, and then they sit around waiting for someone to give them a handout or they meet someone who's going to, you know, give them that lucky break. Is it luck? Is it serendipity? Or is it, you know, backbone, direction, you know, you make your own luck? Where does it sit? Is it hard work and determination, or lucky breaks?
I think luck plays a part in everyone's life, but the main reason is hard work and having a plan. You need to be out there and you need to be working on your future, and then the more luck you will have, the more opportunities you will recognize and you'll be able to capitalize on it. I mean, for me, before I met that investor in Barcelona, after which I went to Dubai, before that I spent already a year building a network with investors, with other entrepreneurs, and started a business.
So it was basically your determination. You had a clear focus. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I always say it's a bit of a sense of identity, because I don't know if you've ever been in the DIFC, that restaurant, the Potbelly sandwich place. I don't know if you've ever had a Potbelly sandwich. They're really good. But in the middle of the restaurant is a stove, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually what it is the Potbelly stove, which heats the home, which people would cook on and do all. I don't know if they cooked on it, but they eat around it and blah, blah. So that was their symbol of identity. And it's hugely successful. And whenever you find a big success story, you also generally find a very deep sense of identity of who we are as a business, who we are as a person. And when I listen to you, that's all you had in the beginning was your identity, saying that I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to make it, if whether I have to be in New York, I have to be in Barcelona, if I have to be in Dubai, it doesn't matter, because it's the blossoming of myself, of me becoming this entrepreneur. This is who I want to be, not what I want. Right?
Absolutely. I made a clear choice for launching my own business. And I think that's an important lesson for a lot of people, is that personally, I'm a yes guy. So there are so many opportunities that I see that are interesting, and it's important to pick. So you need to dedicate yourself to one future, put plans on paper and lock it.
Did you say you're a yes guy? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Because you just kind of slipped that in there with the other advice. So because I'm also like that. What I call it going with the flow, right? You know, just, you know, I usually try to say yes to as much as I can, right? Is that the philosophy, or what's the philosophy or the success philosophy behind being a yes guy?
So for me, it's a combination of saying yes and knowing when to say no. As well. So I think I have clear objectives and I've clear values, and every opportunity that I pursue should meet that test. But I'm always open for opportunities, meeting people and doing new things.
So just give it a chance. So, but you're actually a trailblazer, right? Because I think there was only one other company doing an e-commerce group buying site, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was
yeah.
only one other at the time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that comes with the territory, right? If you want to be innovative in your career path, if you want to be that .com entrepreneur, this is probably the way to go.
Yeah, it was absolutely. We were number two to market with a great business idea, and I think we won that market by being more aggressive and being more, putting in more energy, I think, to succeed.
Okay, so you're Dutch. Your partner's Irish. Is that a good match? Does that go well? I've never seen a team like that, Dutch and Irish. But you worked at Procter & Gamble, which was an Irish and British, I think, that started it, right? The original Procter & Gamble. They were two men, and they were married to sisters, right? And at the dinner, one made candles, one made soap, and they got together. You don't know? You worked at Procter & Gamble. You don't know the story? You're looking at me. That's the story. I didn't make that up. So initially part of their identity was diversity, right? So for you guys, do you prefer, because I know, like, for example, Steve Jobs, he doesn't like having a partner. Is it better to have a partner in a business? If I'm going to start a business, should I have a partner, or should I go and do it myself? Should I be all alone? Should I walk the road alone?
I think that really depends on the situation, and you should do, I think, what you're good at. And one of the things we do, I think, well at Terperna is that we have a very diverse team. So we have people of over 23 nationalities, and the people that we have within the company have a diverse set of skills. So that helps.
So you graduate from your MBA in Spain. Next thing you knew, you jump on a plane and you leave again to Dubai. Isn't that a lot of change? That must have been caused some anxiety for you. Was that a difficult period for you?
So I've never had been to the Middle East before. I even came here. I came here for one weekend, and I was amazed by the opportunity and by the city of Dubai.
What year was that?
That was in April to 2011. Yeah.
In April 2011. Yeah. You hadn't even been here until April 2011.
No, and I didn't even prepare.
And so you become like a millionaire in like 24 months. It's crazy. It's crazy. Everybody's going to go quit their job on Sunday morning, you know, like they listen to this show. They're like, that's it. I'm doing it. I'm starting my .com.
It's good. We have 15 open positions at Terperna.
So 50. Which positions are you hiring for?
Many within sales, within marketing.
Are they
marketing,
like good jobs, IT? Or are they plus, like, what salary bands are you looking at? How much money can we make working at Terperna?
Yeah, that all depends, I think.
Is there equity stake on the table here, or what?
Well, I think that's one of the things where we are really different. I think we're one of the few companies in the UAE where every employee in the company has shares, has options.
What?
Yeah.
Every employee has options?
Every employee has options. So if we win, we win together. And I think that's one of our philosophies of building ownership.
Awesome.
And building a winning team.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to send my CV across. I don't know if you need a headhunter or something. Nobody likes headhunters. Nobody likes headhunters, you know. So I'll never get into Terperna. Never. But so how do you calculate that? Do you get like half a percent of the business, or is it just how do you give so much equity away and still keep your investors happy? You know, how do you break all that down? We'll be finding out exactly how Peter does this. Everybody in his company is an owner. That's awesome. This is the story of Peter Sleeboom, co-founder of Kabone.com and COO and co-founder of Terperna, one of the up-and-coming travel sites. Stay with us. We'll be back in 1 second. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. If you have a dream, if you're thinking of starting your own business, if you want to go in there and quit your job and put the wind in your sails and take off with your own idea, your own ship, your own whatever it is, if you want to take that entrepreneurial leap, this is the show you want to be listening to. We're looking at the region's biggest success stories. Tonight we have in the studio with us Peter Sleeboom, the co-founder of Kabone.com. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
Of course, you're also the co-founder of Terperna, a new travel site. For those of you who don't know the story, basically Peter came here in 2011, was pretty much broke, is that fair to say? And now he's a multimillionaire, sold his business for $40 million in 2013. What? 24 months? The guy was first wanting to be a football player. Then he decided he was going to be a lawyer, went to New York, got behind the desk, said he didn't really like it, said he's going to be an entrepreneur, went to Barcelona to start his business. For whatever reason, he picked Barcelona to take off, do his MBA. And then he met Paul Kenny, the other co-founder of Kabone.com, and it was into the city of dreams of Dubai, where the impossible becomes possible. He launches Kabone.com, and now he's here with us. Peter, so you were just saying something that's totally awesome. You said every single one of your employees is an owner. You're setting the benchmark high now for the rest of the entrepreneurs in town. You know, like, we're all going to have to follow your lead here. But you won't tell us how you do it. It's a top secret. You're looking at me.
Like, nah, yeah. No, for us, it's something. Ownership is really important. I mean, with Terperna, we want to build the leading online travel agency in the Middle East, right? So we're expecting the impossible. So we expect it from our people.
You're going to be the leading
online travel agency.
Who's
in
number
the Middle
one
East?
Now online? Booking.com?
I don't even know.
I use Booking.com.
Yeah,
I just go booking.com, and then I found out that sometimes the price isn't cheaper on booking.com. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's a better deal if you just call the hotel directly, and I got ripped off once.
Yeah.
But most of the time, 99% of the time, it's quite good.
And good.
But I'm going to check out Terperna. You said that you had a deal on right now, didn't you? 400 dirhams?
Yeah.
To go to Fujairah?
I think it's a great deal for the five-star Mira.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
No, it is 400 dirhams. Normally, it's 1,500 dirhams, right, for that hotel?
I think so. 1,300 or something. I bought it myself. Yeah.
We're all going to... Are you going down this weekend? Peter, you're nice enough, actually, to take time out and give back to the community. And I find the one thing about successful people is they love to make other people successful. They want to see other people become successful. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
You're like, no, not really.
No, absolutely. I think that's one of the drivers of what we do at Terperna, is that we really invest in the development of all of our people.
Mm. So when you started, let's just go back to Kabone.com. It wasn't easy, right? A lot of people think you get lucky breaks, but when you started it, you know, who was buying stuff online, right?
Yeah.
Can you just talk about some of the early challenges you had, biggest things that happened out of the gates, any of the big stone walls you had to throw yourself over?
So I think for a lot of people in the Middle East, the first time that they bought something, it was actually on Kabone.com. And
the first time you bought something in the Middle East, it was on Kabone.com.
Yeah.
That's impossible. Was what, when you got here, you didn't eat, you didn't buy anything. I will only buy once the site is live.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, you didn't buy anything online. The first time you bought something online would have been on Kabone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did that. And right. and that's a good story that I hear a lot from people that said, you know, actually the first time that I bought something from a site in the Middle East, it was on Kabone.com. Mm. And I think it's an emerging market, so you still have the challenges of logistics and payment. In the beginning, 80% of what we sold was through cash on delivery, and we had 40 guys on motorcycles driving around town, delivering vouchers and collecting cash.
Those guys are awesome drivers, though. They can go through like a crack this like 3 feet wide. They'll fly through there at 100 kilometers an hour. It's amazing. So I think this is where you were innovative, right? Because the other sites weren't utilizing this amazing motorcycle resource that Dubai has nurtured over the last two decades.
No, absolutely. That was one of the reasons why we won. Our competitors at that point of time had only a credit card as a payment option. And we saw that this is a cash-based society, so you need to be able to offer to your consumers to pay in cash.
I heard, you know, because we actually had the head of MasterCard on here, and he said, you know, my biggest competitor is not Visa. My biggest competitor is cash. And only 85% of all retail transactions take place are cash. Only 15% are on credit card versus the, I think it's like 42 or 44% in the Western markets is on plastic.
Yeah, still a lot of the people prefer to pay with cash. And that's the same thing on Terperna. On our side, you can purchase your travel through cash, while on a lot of our competitors, only credit card.
How do you do it
option.
On cash?
Again, the same thing.
You send a guy down?
Yeah, absolutely.
To get my cash. You really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. you should be hired as a consultant for Oman Air. You know, like for the life of me, when I try to go, because I go to Muscat a lot, you try to buy a ticket on Oman Air. It's so difficult on their site. It's, you know, so you end up going Fly Dubai, not because Fly Dubai is cheaper, just because you can buy a ticket in like 2 minutes on the Fly Dubai website. They make it so easy. Anyway, I digress. But this is actually one of the other career options, right? As you go along, you actually can become an IT social media consultant as well, right? You're hired on the side to optimize people's sites. Do you ever do that? You wouldn't?
I could. But I think at this point of time, the opportunity is bigger to build something yourself.
Right. So cash, getting the cash, you use the motorcycles. What was the next biggest hurdle you had in starting up the business and starting up Kabon.com? Once you had the motorcycles going, you had the cash coming in, what was the next biggest challenge in starting a .com?
One of the other challenges that we had was we needed to build the trust for consumers to purchase something of a new platform, and we did that through some attractive deals that we were trying to source from theme parks. I think at some point of time we sold 4 Nissan Pathfinders on one day on our website.
You sold 3 Nissan Pathfinders?
Yeah.
Those things are getting so expensive. I think the top of the line Land Cruiser now is almost like 300,000 dirhams. Can you imagine that? I don't know how it got so expensive. But how much is it on your site?
So that was,
is it 50% off?
No. It was 15% off or something. But we were, I think, pretty innovative in our marketing tactics to create buzz and get people wanting to experience Kabon.
So you have to be able to have a credit card that can take a 300,000 dirham payment to buy that on your site.
I think that was cash on delivery, yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, so you can I still buy cars on your site?
No, not anymore.
No. Okay. So, I think as you rise up, you face so many different challenges. I think one of the biggest challenges that I hear a lot is you're working under a manager who just wants to destroy you, or who's not promoting you, or who's toxic, or who's really strangling you, or not giving you the room you need to grow, and you're stuck under this person. Have you had that situation? Because I know you worked at Procter & Gamble previously. You worked at a law firm. You've worked at a bank, you know, before you became this amazing .com entrepreneur. Have you ever had that situation?
Yeah. And I think the number one reason that people decide to leave a company is because of their manager. But in my opinion, you need to be able to deal with it. When I took a job at the bank, I was a young guy. I was 100% focused on learning, on achievements, on getting more responsibilities and growing fast. And I was willing to work hard for that. But on the first day, my manager told me, for the next 6 months, I'm going to monitor every step. And only after 3 years, you're going to get a bit of more responsibility. And that to me was the most demotivating thing. That
3 years? This was in Holland, or was it?
Yeah, that was in Holland.
Oh,
yeah. And so I had to make a plan and had to work around it. So first I thought, okay, I'm gonna try to build some comfort and trust and ask for more. But that didn't help. So I was micromanaged up to the point where it would drive me crazy. And then I started working around that manager, building my own network with clients, building my own network with people within the bank, and. In the end, that got me the talent status and a promotion. So
how do you work around them? I mean, like, how would you do that? How do you work around your manager? It's very dangerous, right?
Yeah, but I would bond with other people, trying to be involved in other projects and get responsibility on the side. I still remember one day when my manager was sick and we had an important client meeting, and I think the right thing to do was to cancel and reschedule the meeting. I decided to take a risk, went out there, closed the deal, and came back with business. And that's a risk I took to prove myself.
So if you're feeling that you're being strangled by your manager or your career is not going well, this is normal. This is life. You're going to have these stone walls. You're going to have doors closed on your face. You've got to pick yourself up and throw yourself at the next challenge with more energy, with more excitement, with more enthusiasm, with new strategies.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and the good thing was now with KabonEntrepreneur.com, I could create my own culture. And the culture that we have in the company is very open, very humble. And we work with winning and with winners and developing people. That's what we focus on, and that helps a lot because you give a lot of responsibility, and we don't micromanage.
This is Peter Sleeboom talking about how to make millions on the net. He's going to come back with his secrets to success in just a minute, so stay with us. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Peter Sleeboom, a man who was like pretty much broke as a joke. Comes to Dubai in 2011. By 2013, he's selling a business for $40 million. He's one of the co-founders of Kabone.com. It's an amazing story, and Peter's here with us now. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here, and what an amazing story. It's really kind of a vertical ascent, and it doesn't seem like things are slowing down for you at all, right? Your new company, Tripurna.com, 30% growth, high double-digit growth week on week. We're talking week on week here.
Yeah, this has been an amazing success so far. We launched this business in November. And since then, it has been another growth story.
Oh my God! Well, nobody comes on our show without being asked what's the secret to their success. It's the time on the show for the secret to success question.
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
Peter, what's your secret to success?
My secret to success: be nice, stay fit, think big, and take responsibility.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
Be fit. That's one thing I'm missing out on. I swear I've been packing on that Dubai kilo. It's killing me. And I had a burger on the way over here because I just don't have time. But that's because you're like, what do you have, like 3% body fat or something?
I wish.
No, you're like pretty ripped, but... So what is it? That's part of it, right? I guess healthy body, healthy mind.
Yeah.
Do you exercise every day or something?
I do. I exercise 3 times a week.
What do you do? Like Tai Chi or Hapkido or Gymkata? What do you use?
I do a bit of fitness, a bit of running, and paddle.
Ah, okay. The paddle and the kayak out there?
That's actually the Spanish tennis. One of the things I picked up in Barcelona.
A Spanish who?
Spanish tennis.
Spanish tennis. Oh, okay. Okay, okay, good. So, I just picked out the fit. What were the other parts of the success, secret to success?
Be nice, think big, and take responsibility.
Be nice, think big, and take responsibility. Yeah, that's good. It sounds pretty decent. What about motivation, June? Do people need to be motivated, or are good people already naturally motivated? If you on one hand you say, look, if these people aren't motivated, we need to get rid of them, get people who are. And then the other side of the story is like, we need to nurture people. We can't just let people go. They need to be motivated. Which side of the, leadership philosophy here, of the paradigms of thought, which one do you go for?
So with Tripurna, we're going after a $35 billion travel market, right? So there's a lot of competition, demanding clients, demanding consumers, and we have limited cash and time. So in a startup, then people are your most precious asset, and we expect a lot from our people because we want to do something against the odds. So in that situation, you want strong and motivated people, people that are up for the challenge, and that starts with people who are self-starting, who have self-direction, and are already motivated, because otherwise it's not going to work. So it starts with the motivation of every individual. And then I think as a leader, you only have to do 3 things. You play on that motivation that's already there to prepare them for the challenge. You develop their talent, you invest in their growth, and then you just get out of their way and let them perform.
So what's that? You invest in their growth.
Yeah.
You what were the other things you do?
You
invest in their growth and you get out of their way.
Yeah.
And let them run wild.
Absolutely.
And just give them the space. What about this flexi work time? What if they don't want to come into the office? What if they work better from JBR or something? Is that okay? Is that cool?
No, we
like
we,
Yahoo, you can just like, work virtually.
Yeah, no, we all work in the office. Absolutely.
You will work under my watchful eye. But does it matter? Do you need to come in? You seem pretty like firm on that one.
Yeah, but the I think people come to our company for the opportunity, for the culture, and a pretty decent work-life balance. But for us, it's something that we do together, so we also work together.
So, but you buy into the philosophy that good people don't need to be motivated. They're self-motivated. They're self-starters. They have that fire in the belly already there. If you need to stoke someone's fire, you're probably better off getting them out of the office.
Absolutely, especially in a startup. If you want to build a big thing out of nothing, you need people who are self-starting and are already motivated
and charged up. There's nothing worse than being in a meeting and that one guy or one girl who's not there just kills you, right? You can just feel, especially in a small company, if there's only 5 or 10 of you, if one person's out, it has a huge effect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we have at this point of time 15 open positions at Traperna. But that's for a reason, right? Because we don't hire everybody.
Do you use psychometric or personality questionnaires?
So it's
a feeling for them.
Yeah. I think if you want to work for Traperna, you go through at least 6 interviews. We do a personality test, and we basically want to make sure that first of all you fit within the culture. So you need to be a nice guy and respect business and other people. And then we look at functional skills, but. To be honest, we prefer to promote people from within and develop in our own people, and we would only hire outside people if they're superstars and 3 times what we already have in the company.
3 times what you already have?
Hmm.
Wow, that's pretty serious. So what's your advice to anyone now who's out there who's thinking of quitting their job on Sunday and starting their own business?
I would do it.
Do it, huh? Just forget it. Even if you're nervous, if you're scared, if you have anxiety about it, that's normal. Just throw it all to the wind, jump in the deep end.
Nah, I would take a first step, and that first step can be pretty small. It can be anything, but make a plan, stick to it, and take some calculated risks. Go for it.
I love that. People don't realize you can go. You don't have to go big and build a $40 million company. Obviously, if you do, that's better. But you could take that small step. You want to be a baker, make some cookies, sell them at the thing on the side. Just make a website. You don't have to go big, right? You can just take a small step.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But then on the other hand, I also feel that one of the things when talking to a lot of people is that they don't think big enough, and don't sweat the small stuff. Go for the big things as well.
Start small, but think big.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That might
That's
be a
awesome.
good summary. Yeah.
Start small, but think big. I was with Ahmed bin Sulaym earlier this week, and he was saying that his developers were telling him not to make the world's largest commercial tower. But he said once he did make the announcement and decide, he said actually his financing costs went down and interest went up. So like when you go big, it's almost easier to get momentum moving. Bit when the idea is bigger, right? So like when you say, I'm building this $35 billion travel company, there's a voice in my head, be like, wow, you should get a part of that. It's huge. Yeah. It's exciting. Versus if you just said, I'm building a travel company, I'll be like, it'll be not very interesting, right?
Yeah. And that's what we do with our strategy as well. We make a big and bold strategy, and then we figure out along the way our path towards that.
And I heard the travel market in the Middle East is bigger than anywhere else, right?
It's a pretty pretty big market, and people spend a lot on travel here in the region. And one of the good things is that that most of the people, 73% of the travel, is even within the region.
Yeah, well, there's so many cool places. Like I've always wanted to go to Salalah in Oman, right?
Yeah.
And which is supposed to be this green, amazing place. There's so many cool places just right close by that you could go and see. So it's amazing. So your final advice is go for it. Start small, but think big. And any last words before we sign off?
I would say be nice and check out our new travel website, traperna.com.
And they're hiring, and they have 15 open positions there. Well, for anyone who wants more of Peter, you can see him live on March 25th, Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Canadian University of Dubai. He's there to contribute to your success. He's there to help you if you're thinking of starting a .com business or you need any help with your career. You have live access to him and Paul, who's the other co-founder and the men behind the legendary Cobone.com. Well, Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to come and chat with us.
It's thank you very much, Shane.
Yeah, and we'll be seeing you soon. Hopefully, we can have you on again sometime, and hope maybe next time with Paul, if he's free. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
And coming up, we have an SME panel. We've never done this before. This is a panel of entrepreneurs who are running, you know, small to mid-sized companies. They're not the huge $40 million plus, $100 million plus businesses. These are very real companies of real entrepreneurs here in Dubai who took the leap and went and started their own things. There's going to be three of them. We have Anne Bleeker, managing partner of Intu Consulting, Tina Meja Bergman, managing partner of Table for Me, and Colin Abercrombie, an executive and team coach trainer based here in Dubai. They all started their businesses and they're very successful and they're enjoying their careers. If you're really thinking of taking a jump, you really want to listen to these people. They're going to have a lot of insights. But coming up, it's the SME panel, never before done on Ion Careers. This is a milestone moment. So this is one moment you don't want to miss. So stay with us.